sometimes we get two podcasts for 1 week. And this is one of those weeks. So we're going to have a bonus conversation. We have two topics we wanted to talk about that we just did not have time in the last one. And we thought we could handle it in the next, in another one. So here we go.
Yeah. So I wanted to ask Lisa, just from her position, even as Women's Mystery Director, as we seek to like love people and care for people and we want to see people go growing and overcoming, right? What are some of the signs that you see in others' lives, in your life and in others' lives, that you would kind of label these as like signs of death, right? So it's like, as we're assessing my faith and my works, what do you see as these things that you're like, that is not a good sign. That is not going to be on a helpful trajectory.
Well, and we didn't talk about this, but we always want like, and you're probably going to talk about it, like this third category. Because I have a very hard time being like, well, that looks like death. I'm like, it just doesn't look like good growth.
I'm asking a two to be like, death here. Yeah.
That's a hard spot for me to call someone else. Like, anyway. But I would say, as I look at lives and the reflection of faith and what that will look like, and the opposite is the motivation. Like, when the motivation is for self, for self-promotion, like, you have this opportunity to serve and, like, instead we want to, like, figure out how we can put our name in lights. Another thing is just, like, begrudging. Like, we show up, but, like, it's begrudgingly. And then it, like, and really self-seeking in our relationships. And even as I see growing, I'll talk about my own life, like, growing up with siblings. Like, sometimes that relationship between the siblings, and it's like, it's just about me and myself and not seeing like a bigger picture and care for other people. So those are
the communal picture.
The communal picture of like, and I just am wrestling through this myself of serving the Lord is a sacrifice and there's going to be trials, but then it's going to be inconvenient. And we're walking through an inconvenient service right now. And I'm like, this is just so inconvenient. Like, and it is like a sacrifice, but there's just this inconvenience of all the pieces of it. And I'm like, but I do, it's great that I feel the confirmation from the Lord to walk through that, but it is super inconvenient and I have to overcome. And so I would say the death of that though is when you're unwilling to overcome. You're just like, that's just the obstacle. You cannot go forward. Just stop. It's like, it wasn't meant to be. And it's like, well, did you try? Like, did you ask more questions? And so if it doesn't fit into this perfect box, then it's like, it's all about
easiness.
Of easiness or like, this is like what I had, like, oh, I was only available at 2 and it was at 1. And then it's like, but did you, if you wanted to be there or wanted to give or wanted to show up, I think you would have asked more questions and realized that the brokenness of our world means that we can't always offer the perfect solution in those times. Like when we create schedules and stuff like that, we don't always know. We're trying to make what makes the most sense. And sometimes your life doesn't fit what made the most sense for everybody. And if you ask another question, you actually can probably solve someone else's problem and fill, like, by filling a need. So
you would say self-promotion.
Yes.
A begrudging spirit.
Yes.
That lack of desire. Like, actually, I don't want to go there. And then this concept of, like, when you're, let's say you're like, okay, fine, I'll go and do this, right? And then something gets in your way, an obstacle, and you're like, yep. And you just stop. I would add to that too. I think one of the things I see is that instead of having works, people have thoughts and they have intentions of what they want to do, right? And so I see this a lot. I think this is really common for us to be able to see. I think even honestly in our community and in our culture where people are like, oh. And they're so compassionate to see the need, right? Think about that person who doesn't have clothes, right, that James talks about. And they see that person and they're like, oh, poor thing, right? And then they don't do anything, right? They don't take a next step. They don't act on it. And so, really, I love here, he's making it so clear that one of the signs of death is that your works aren't working, right? There's no action. So to have concern, to have thoughts, to have intention, to have even like, and to have like, even be a consultant, like, oh, I think you should go get that person some clothes. He's like, no. Those are not signs of life. Those are signs of death. Because those would kind of feel to us sometimes, as we were talking earlier, like this third category, right? Where you're like, oh, you're telling me that I'm either a doer, where I'm doing these works and they're beautiful and they're a testimony to Christ, or I'm dead? Because so many of us are like, let's make a third category. Can I be called, like, the decider? Where, like, sometimes I'm, like, in the middle, right? And I'm like, and it's so tempting to want that third category so that we can feel like we're still alive and maybe we're just, like, struggling, which the struggle is real, and that's probably a different topic. This is overall looking at our works and the relationship that we have to them, to our faith. But it makes me think of when we're talking about, too, he's like, no, you cannot be lukewarm. You are either hot or cold. You are either alive or you are dead in your faith. And so it is just seeing that and just thinking, wow, so my thoughts and my intentions, they have to turn to works or else they are actually not works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. What are some of the signs that you see, Lisa, of life in people? When you're looking at people and you're seeing that their faith is real, you're able to, like, watch this beautiful thing come to life.
I think it's their attitude.
Mm-hmm.
Also, just the weight that they carry, like, they're carrying a heavy weight, mm-hmm. and yet that is not the countenance that they're carrying it with. Mm-hmm. Like, you know that someone else is carrying it with them, and it's the Lord, right? Mm-hmm. And so, like, when the weight that's is good. So heavy, and it's, like, you know, like, that's probably yes. out of their own everything versus when they're carrying this heavy weight, and yet, like, they're, how they're carrying it is, like, that there's someone above them carrying yeah. some piece of it. The joy that they have.
Yep.
Also, their willingness, like, this mm-hmm. desire to be available and to put themselves into situations to be able to step in to serve. And they're attentive. Like, their eyes are looking. When they show up to some there, they're not yes. just showing up to be part of, like, this is what I signed up for, this is what I can do. But there is this overflowing part of them that wants to be the life of Christ to mm-hmm. other people. So those are probably...
Mm-hmm. And I think exactly everything you just said, and seeing that these works, right, that one of the things I was thinking about as reading this passage is that, yes, these works are helping us to identify our faith, but the point of the works is not to help us identify our faith. The point of the works is also that we're growing the kingdom of God,
yes.
and that we are being a light of His glory, right, to other people in the darkness. And so that purpose, right, is your driving purpose.
Yes.
And that helps you to overcome those obstacles so that you're able to be, like, an overcomer and that you're growing in that direction of what that looks like. But I mean, is there anything more exciting, right, to watch someone who is doing this, like you said, with God? Because the other thing he says in this passage is, like, they're apart, right? And so mm-hmm. then the opposite of that would be, like, with. And so what you just described is, like, you see that they're carrying it because they're with God in the way that they're carrying it, right?
Yes.
And I just think, honestly, I got to spend time with Peter, who runs our anti-child sacrificing ministry, not ours, but the one that we, like, are joining with, like, in Uganda last week, and hearing his stories, this man, I told my small group in Bible study this man experiences more trauma on a daily basis than I think that I can even imagine anyone else in any other profession experiencing. And when you're with him, it is very obvious that he is doing this with the Lord, because although it is still very hard on his mental health and the things he has to see and endure and practice, his spirit is so alive. And the Lord is doing this job with him, right? And that is just, like, one of the examples of being able to see how he runs to the Lord to be able to do this with him. And he is being fed and alive in that.
That's so true. One of the things we talked about in our small group this past week, and I think it's so tied to works too, is this idea of judgment over mercy. And this idea that we want to control how our works happen, legit. And that it's about ourselves, as opposed yeah. to, like, trusting God that He's called me to do this, and God's actually in charge of the results.
He's a seer and He's a knower.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so I think when we were chatting about it, was like, do we ask the person who needs clothes, like, well, can we go back to your house and make sure you don't, like, do you have 3 shirts or just 2? Because then we'll give you 2, because everyone should have 4. But if you have 1, and, like, going through this thing, and it's like, actually, can we just be generous? Can mm-hmm. we, and not control that? And mm-hmm. so there is a concern to be a good steward, but there is this concern of just being generous and actually to love people
right.
and to have that overflow right. and let God be the judge right. Right. and we be the person who extends mercy because we've accepted right. mercy.
Right.
So,
right. We've experienced that, right? And
yes.
so it's like our joy to be able to just continually get that out. I mean, that's so much of what BC3 does, is just we don't know this person's entire life story and what they're going to do with everything and all these different moving parts, and we try to be very wise in the way that we approach these situations. But at the end of the day, it's just our opportunity to step into the story at that point and point to Jesus, right? And it is his responsibility to come over it and to see how that is carried out.
Yes.
But absolutely. And so I think it's just, as you continue your self-assessment, I think these are just things that we wanted to add to the conversation, right? In terms of what we're looking for, in terms of what, when we're seeing these things in ourselves, do I just stop, right? Am I in this for my own self-interest? Do I have a desire? And I mentioned this when I was teaching earlier, but I do know full-heartedly that when you begin to taste this desire, when you begin to have these works that the Lord is so pleased by, it is one of the most life-giving, to be with God and partnering him on something, right? Like, it is one of the most refreshing places that you can be. Whether that's you're doing it in community or you're doing it alone, whatever that looks like. And that is just our hope, right, for each of our Village women, is that you are able to, without a shadow of a doubt, connect into your faith to be able to see that your works are alive and that your faith is real and that it's alive. And so if that is something that you're always looking for opportunities to be able to do, those are things you can email us about just for current opportunities. There's other people too, between Tara and Sarah in church right now at this current moment, who can connect you, right, to these opportunities for service. And that is just something, yeah, that I count as such a treasure that we have this opportunity to do that.
Mm-hmm. I think one of the things that we, as we look at what works is do, like it's added, it like flows from our faith. But then this idea, one, it shines a light on God. Like, it shines a light on him. And then two, it brings us together in community. Yes. And so I've saw so many people working in our gym in the past few months of just, like, these very tangible ways. We needed people to just show up and to have us. They had to have skills in some way at times. They just sometimes needed to be a body. Like, my kids were cutting blankets for the pregnancy centers this on Sunday. And so there's these opportunities that come. But it really, we are stronger when we're together. And I think God knew that when he built, when he created the church and the concept of how he wanted it to fit together, that he knew that the voice and the body of the church would be, have such a greater impact if they worked together than if each individual went out on their own. Mm-hmm. And I think that is how we just get to be part of that when we do some, when we partner with our church in doing stuff like that. So I have one final question.
All right, bring it on.
Is, so we have, how do we engage in for working for the Lord when our, we're not able to physically do some stuff? Are there, like, does that mean we're not useful, or what, how does that fit into
this conversation? That's a really good question, because I think for all of us, in one season of our life, or many seasons, or the whole season, or whatever that looks like, we are going to have different challenges, whether it's our physical capacity, our mental capacity, our exhaustion level, or whatever that looks like, whether that's an illness, or a pregnancy, or you're a new mom with a baby at home, or you are older, right, and you're, or maybe you're bound in your chair, whatever this looks like. And I do have an encouraging word, I think, for all of us as women, is that there is never a circumstance that gets us out of working for the Lord. There's never a time in our lives where we're like, well, I'm just going to go ahead and put the gospel on the shelf, right? Because I am in this circumstance, no matter what that looks like. However, I think that in some of those circumstances, with that overcoming spirit, right, it is an opportunity for us. We have to figure out, what, Lord, does this chapter of my life look like? How in this chapter, with whatever limitations that you have given me, because I think oftentimes it is the Lord who gives us our limitations, because he's trying to shape us and do different things, or he's growing us through this, or he's with us in the evil that we're experiencing. With these limitations in this chapter, what is it that I can do for you? And I was telling Lisa earlier that my grandma has been, like, such a beautiful example of this to me, just to kind of, like, drop in and observe her life at different chapters of her life, that she is so dedicated to the work of the gospel that she is constantly on the hunt for what she can do in the capacity that she has to be able to give to that situation. So, for example, during a time when she was just having a hard time sleeping, And she was maybe more exhausted during the days where she felt she couldn't do a lot of hands-on things during the days. She chose to read the books that were going to go into their church library and make sure they were good right before as she stayed up all night long. She will write notes to people while she's at home, you know, like at night, just writing encouraging notes to people. She would reach out to people, writing emails, right? And so I think for those who have physical limitations, for those who have just even emotional limitations, whatever it is that the limitations look like, I think that that is always honestly an opportunity for us to reassess what the Lord wants us to do at that time. I don't think that there's ever a season of our life where you're like, okay, no.
I'm not useful.
I'm not a worker. Yeah. I'm not useful. I think that that is a common misconception. And I see that honestly bring a lot of sadness to people's lives. Oftentimes when I'm working with people and they are experiencing depression, that's honestly, I would say, one of the number one correlations or causations. It's up for debate. Of a part of that depression, right, where they have just retreated, right, and they are not fulfilling their calling and being a part of what the kingdom work is going on around them. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes even that sense of, like, a depressed spirit, right, it's almost like the Lord is like, right, if you're not being a part of what you're called to do, what your very purpose and what you're made to do, what emotional response are you thinking is going to happen? Probably not much. Like, it's almost like this tangible grace that when you're not living the life that you're supposed to be living, right, that you have a sense of, like, oh, this is not how it's supposed to be. Because I think that's actually part of that, like, alarm system in our bodies to be able to be like, right, so move forward with your calling and be diligent, right? As he talked about in the beginning of the book of James, to persevere, so that you are becoming more steadfast in what's going on, no matter what the circumstances is looking like, to be able to do the work of the Lord and to recalibrate that. And sometimes you need people in your life to help you be creative. You need people to be able to reach out in the church to be able to be like, all right, I can sit in a chair and I can use some scissors, right? What can I do, right? And I can guarantee you that most of the time we could keep you pretty busy sitting in a chair with a pen, right? Or calling people with a phone, right? And there's just so much caring and love that it can be used in those opportunities.
And it does. It ties back to the beginning of James, right? Where it says, count all joy when you experience trials of many kinds. Because you know that will produce all this in your life. And it's saying, like, as you're producing all of that, you're not in your trial by yourself huddled under a chair.
Right.
Right? But you're living life through those trials, and often those trials that you still get to produce work.
Right, because that production word, that's actually like a forward word, right? That's like a word that's like moving us forward. Mm-hmm. And I think all of us can think of, hopefully, experiences in our life where trials have actually unproduced, I don't know what they have. Like you said, this like isolating, pulling back, and like stopping the production line, right? And what that feels like to be in those trials. And that's why I love this word from him so deeply. There's so much counseling beauty in the book of James. Wait till we get to chapter 4 and we get to have the secret of why we fight. He tells us, this is why you're fighting. But when we look at that, it's like the production is actually this it's supposed to be this forward motion thing. And you can see people in your lives and you can hear stories of so many heroes of our faith, right? Even modern day ones. And we see the trials that they encounter and we see that this does not set them back, but it is pushing them forward. The trial doesn't change. But the motion that's going on in this, that is so important.
So good. I just even think I had surgery, I don't know, 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. I don't even, but one of the things, in the midst of it, I couldn't do, right? But at the same time, one of the things I was able to do is be merciful to myself and accept the help that was coming, right? Yep. And that was almost a gift to allow people who wanted to serve this opportunity to serve, and our family was so blessed, and they replaced the work that I would do for my family by doing it for me, and that was just this like amazing way I saw our church family care, and within, like, it was primarily my community group who even showed up. And at the same time, though, it was this gracious response I needed to have to not injure those who were working by being mean about, but, like, I don't want your help, I don't want you here.
Just to humble yourself too, right?
Yes.
To be able to be like, I mean, I could do it, but
it is actually, wow. Yes, and I got to, I just sat firsthand to see the women of our church caring for me, and to know that that is happening in so many corners of our church, and say, like, the humility and grace in which you receive that help is so good. And then it actually spurs you on to want to be that person who gets to bless someone else. Like, mm-hmm. it has this, like, circle. Mm-hmm. So.
I think that's too, like, just as a commercial, as you're talking about that, because I think about the women who are listening to this, right? And so you, in that circumstance, though, let your needs be known. Maybe even we had to ask a little bit, right? But then you responded to them. But we knew, right, what was going on. And I just think one of the things we're constantly hoping for in the culture of Village Church Women is that we are building a place where when you have needs, you are letting them be known. Michael even talked about it in his sermon a little bit ago, right? Like, so when you are the vulnerable, like when you're in these positions, when you need things too, you're letting us know what that is. And if you don't know what that is, then you're letting us know,
I don't know what I need.
I don't know what I need, but something, right? And then we are able to minister to you, and yet at the same time, then we want to be able to equip you, even in all of those circumstances, to be ministering to each other, to be ministering to the body, to be ministering to the people who are ministering to you, whatever that looks like, right? And so I think that's where we just begin to see this beautiful connectivity of unity and a life, right, going on in our community, and these all these signs of our works, right, which is what we're looking for, of like this steadfast faith, and then also like the love that we have for one another. So,
yes. Well, sounds good. Thank you for joining us for Bonus Podcast. We'll see you next time.